deep divide.
When we make mistakes, we admit them.
On the Congressional Report, on the CIA.
The Democratic report is deeply flawed.
American race relations.
At their lowest point in 17 years.
Good morning. I'm Steve Kathan with the CBS World News Roundup.
Where was the last time you saw Bin Laden, huh?
The Oscar-nominated film Zero Dark Thirty showed waterboarding and suggested it was crucial in hunting down Osama bin Laden. The report on CIA techniques from Senate Democrats says harsh interrogations did not provide the key information to track him down. It's one of the explosive details in a document that calls the post-9/11 program brutal and ineffective and says Congress never got the full story from the CIA. We've now heard from President Obama on this. Let's check in now with White House correspondent Peter Mayer.
Right, Stephen. The president backs the release of this report. It supports his decision to ban the interrogation techniques shortly after taking office.
Some of the tactics that were written about in the Senate Intelligence Report were brutal. And as I've said before, constituted torture in my mind. And that's not who we are.
But in a statement released following the report, the president also noted the George W. Bush administration's challenges in the wake of 9/11. Mr. Obama recalled the agonizing choices on how to pursue al-Qaeda and prevent more terror attacks.
Michael Morrell joins us. He's our CBS News national security consultant, and he served as deputy and acting CIA director. He was involved in preparing the agency's response to the Senate Intelligence Committee's investigation. What is that response?
This report is deeply flawed. Some of the major conclusions of the report, that these techniques were not effective and that the CIA lied, are simply wrong. Second, there are big chunks of the story that this leaves out. It gives the impression that this was a CIA rogue operation. This was approved by the President of the United States and his national security team.
About waterboarding and whether that helped lead to the killing of Osama bin Laden, you suggested a couple of years ago it was a variety of intelligence. How do you assess all that now?
A number of detainees told us about Abu Ahmed, the courier who eventually led us to bin Laden. The most specific information about him came from an individual subjected to enhanced interrogation techniques. I can tell you with certainty that we were focused on Abu Ahmed, but it was information from detainees subjected to enhanced interrogation techniques that led us to make this a priority lead.
Finally, where does this leave the intelligence community going forward?
CIA officers were directed by the President of the United States to do something, and they were told by the Department of Justice that it was legal. And now, 12 years later, they're having the rug pulled out from under them. What does that say to the officers at CIA today who are being asked to do some edgy things by this president? They are wondering whether some new administration is going to pull the rug out from under them.
Michael Morrell, thanks very much. The Justice Department says it will pursue no further action on any of this, but it may not be the end of it. CBS's Vicky Barker joins us now from the Foreign Desk in London.
From a former Guantanamo detainee calls for those involved to be prosecuted. British Muslim Moazzam Begg now campaigns for other detainees.
Torture is a crime. Rendition, kidnap, false imprisonment, they're crimes. If you or I were to do those to anybody, we'd be prosecuted by the full weight of the law.
And that is what the UN says should happen too. Special Human Rights Envoy Ben Emmerson says international law requires the U.S. to prosecute, forbids it from granting immunity to those who authorized or carried out the practice. Steve?
A just-released CBS News poll finds race relations in this country at a low not seen since the 1990s. The survey, in the wake of grand juries clearing white police officers and the deaths of unarmed black men, finds 45% believe race relations are good. We have two reports, beginning with CBS's Heather Bosch.
Jared lives in a middle-class Georgia neighborhood.
I understand things are a lot better than they had been, you know, in the past.
He's also black.
I mean, I get pulled over on my neighborhood to ask, you know, is this where you're supposed to be? Is this where you live?
Stanley, who's black and lives in New Jersey, thinks most police treat people equally.
For the most part, yeah.
In Virginia, Anamata believes few officers truly profile.
Like, it's not everybody that does. It's not all police.
But Jared says more training and diversity on the force is needed. He still warns other black men.
Police officer pulls you over. Do to not make any sudden movements, because I remember being 15 and being pulled over and reached for my license and the cop pulled a gun on me.
CBS's Barry Bagnato tells you why medical students are joining protests today.
Future doctors in white coats are protesting the treatment of blacks and Hispanics. They're holding demonstrations at more than 50 medical schools across the country, including here at George Washington University and at the University of Pennsylvania, where Dorothy Charles is a first-year student.
The issue in Ferguson and in Staten Island is not only one of police brutality, but also of a larger issue in society where we're not really addressing racial injustice.
It exists in medicine, she says, through personal biases in some cases, to a widespread lack of health care access for many people of color. The protests include disruptive die-ins on streets to bring attention to the idea that violence and racism are public health concerns. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
At least two people were killed, others injured in a fire at a four-story assisted living complex in Dallas.
I woke up, I smelled smoke. I crawled out my door. There was a lot of smoke in my apartment.
The cause of that fire is not known. Forecasters say the San Francisco Bay Area could be in for the worst storm in years. Heavy rain and wind are expected. The Northeast is drying out after heavy rain sparked flooding and travel delays. Some places got around a foot of snow. There's a fresh assessment of the impact of something you've probably seen on TV.
I'm married, and I used to be a smoker.
Graphic ads from former smokers get the attention of current smokers. The CDC's Tim McAfee tells me those ads resulted in over 1.5 million smokers attempting to quit.
Really, the success of this campaign is due to the 30 Americans who stood up, despite the fact that they had disfigurement.
McAfee says the campaign has prevented at least 17,000 premature deaths from smoking. Sabrina Gibbons for CBS News, Atlanta.
A judge in South Africa says Oscar Pistorius can appeal his homicide conviction. The Paralympic athlete was convicted in the shooting death of his girlfriend. Time magazine has picked the Ebola fighters as person of the year, doctors and nurses who've worked to try to contain the deadly virus in West Africa. In Washington, CBS's Pam Coulter has more on congressional consideration of something that's caused grumbling in both parties.
The spending bill, coming in at just over $1 trillion, would fully fund 11 of 12 government agencies through the end of the fiscal year in September. But the Department of Homeland Security, which has jurisdiction over immigration enforcement, would only be funded for a shorter period, giving Republicans more time to craft a plan to block the president's action, protecting millions of illegal immigrants from deportation.
And part of the bill would allow school districts to ease standards that require more whole grains in school meals, and new rules to cut sodium have been put off. At a TGI Fridays in Brooklyn, New York, a woman was left bloodied and with a chunk of her nose clipped. It happened when a mobile mistletoe drone the restaurant's been using to spread holiday cheer hit her. The operator says it wouldn't have happened if she didn't flinch. That's the World News Roundup. I'm Steve Kaith, CBS News.